very good. God is in it. God is in it. You know, there's special moments in our lives when we look around and we say, man, that was just a God moment. God was in it. You know, one of those moments that I remember was several years ago, Gina and I were attending the Creative Church Conference at Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas. We were being inspired about the local church and about the vision and the calling that God had for our life. And it was in that conference that the Lord began to do something special and unique in our own hearts. And Gina and I went to Whataburger right after the conference. And it was there at Whataburger that we began to download everything we had been discussing and talking about. And we decided and we believed that God was calling us to start a church. And I'll never forget, Gina looked at me and she said, Ryan, we can do it. We can do it. And I knew in that moment, God was in it. God was in it. And who would have thought that sometime later that we would be here in Aurora, Colorado, beginning a brand new church. I remember when we began to consider coming to the Denver area, we were looking at all the different places in the city. We looked at Stapleton, we looked at Parker, we looked at Southlands, we looked at all kinds of different places. And we began to feel the Lord's leadership to this specific area. And about the time that we began to sense the Lord's calling here, we discovered that there was a church in Littleton that had been praying for a new church to start in this area, and they wanted to participate financially in helping make that happen. And as we met with that church, it was like hand in glove. Perfect relationship, great friendship, great support. And it was one of those moments where we knew that God was in it. God was in it. And as we look back at the history of our church, we've just seen so many God moments. God is in it. In fact, just a few months ago, we had our grand opening service, and we had over 200 adults and children that were here at the Edge Church for our very first preview service. We had Hacienda Colorado give us some lunch. We had a big mail out that went out. We had all kinds of different kids camps going, all kinds of different emphasis that were reaching people. And, you know, and it was exciting. And as we look back over these last few months, we've seen so many things that God has done, and we have to look at it and say, God is in it. God is in it. And as we think about the fact that God is in it, it's important for us to remember that in these special moments where God has led us to this point, now God is giving us the opportunity to throw some butane on the fire that has already started. God's given us an opportunity through our generosity to encourage and to build up what God has already begun right here in the Southlands community through the Edge Church. Our scripture this morning that is going to inspire us in this regard is John chapter 12. The scripture tells us that Jesus is going to a banquet. It's being hosted by Mary and Martha. Now, not the Virgin Mary, but another Mary that was the friend of Jesus. And Mary and Martha are giving a party, a celebration for Jesus, because they had just raised Lazarus, their brother, from the grave. Now, that would be a pretty good reason to celebrate, wouldn't it? I mean, if you saw one of your family members get up out of the grave and he'd been there for 3 days, that would cause for celebration. And so they throw this huge party for Jesus, and in John chapter 12, the story begins to unfold as they celebrate the resurrection of Lazarus. And in verse 3 through 5, the scripture tells us, then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume that she had poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It is worth a year's wages, Judas Iscariot protested. So we find this banquet is going on, and Jesus' feet are obviously dirty. In the biblical world, they didn't have blacktop and pavement. I mean, it was just dirt roads. And so you would often have to have your feet washed when you arrived at a special gathering. And Mary begins to take advantage of this. And she began to pour herself out and to worship. And you know, this is one of those moments that's not really logical. I mean, it doesn't really even make sense, because the person that would wash another person's feet was oftentimes a slave, not the hostess. That was work for a menial slave. And yet, as Mary saw the need that Jesus had, that his feet were caked in mud and they were dirty and filthy and needed to be cleaned, she began to take it upon herself to clean the feet of Jesus. Now see, in looking at this story, we see several things that speak to us about radical generosity. And the first of which is this: when God is in it, your giving is not logical. You know, it's not like A plus B equals C. When cleaning someone's feet, it was the work of a slave, not of a hostess. But feet were very dirty. And no man would see a woman with her hair down. The Bible says, first of all, it was weird that Mary was even washing Jesus' feet because she was the hostess. Second of all, she took her hair down. And ancient times, the only person that ever saw a woman with her hair down was her husband. So a woman's hair was always kept up. So here Mary is so caught up in the moment, she's so caught up in the need before her, that she begins to break cultural norms. And we see just the spontaneity and the generosity and the sacrifice and the worship of Jesus that's here before her. And Mary was driven by great love and great appreciation. And you know what? When we have great appreciation to God and we have great love for God, then our generosity just seems to be the most natural outcome of that very thing that we've experienced. We've experienced the grace of God in our life. We've experienced His forgiveness. God has moved in our heart, and we see God is in it. And so our generosity is just like the natural response to the greatness and the awesomeness of God. And that's what we see here with Mary as she begins to interact with Jesus. There are times when we give and maybe we don't even understand how, or it doesn't even make sense, but we're just caught up in the moment in our appreciation towards God. I was thinking about this particular instance just this week, and I remembered when I was about to get engaged to Gina. We had been dating. I was in graduate school. I had no money. I had managed to save just a little bit of money, but I really had no money. And we wanted to get engaged, and I thought, man, well, how am I going to buy Gina a ring? So I went to this diamond wholesaler that was a friend of our family's, and she had this perfect stone. I mean, it was beautiful. It was totally what I wanted to give Gina. And it was going to cost every single dime that I had saved. You know, I mean, every bit of money that I had, it was going to cost all of that. And so I thought, wow, what am I going to do? You know, I didn't really want to spend my whole life savings on this diamond, but my whole life savings was pretty small anyway, so I don't know that it mattered. But I took all that I had and I bought the stone. But then I realized, you know what? You can't have a stone without a setting, right? I mean, you can't put a diamond in your pocket. That wouldn't do any good. And so I began to look at some bands, you know, and I went to the lady and I said, look, I don't really have the money to buy a band. I could barely buy this stone, but I'm going to work some extra odd jobs on the side, and I really want this special band that you have. And so what can we work out? She says, well, I don't let people pay it out. I don't finance it. I don't do whatever. But she said, for you, I'll let you do it. So she worked out a payment plan with me, and I worked some extra jobs, and I bought that ring. And when I gave it to Gina, she was so appreciative and so blown away by it, not because it was like the biggest ring in the world, but she knew that it had taken everything that I had to get that ring. And you know, she was a school teacher at the time, and she went to class the week after, and she walked into the class, and one of the little girls in her class said, and you know how girls are when they get engaged? They begin to walk different. I mean, it's totally different. I mean, they walk like this. You know? And they have this funny look on their face. Like, I just got engaged. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it is totally different. And so this little fifth grade girl looked at Gina and she said, Mrs. Key, your ring done soaked up all the sunlight. And that ring is blinding me. Now, that's got to be like one of the greatest compliments that you can ever give a woman, right? to tell her that her ring is blinding you. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? I have never regretted giving that ring to Gina. I've never sat around and thought, man, I wish I would have saved some of my money. I wish I had gotten her a stone about half that size, you know? I've never felt that way, and I know Gina's never felt that way. I mean, she's never looked around and said, Ryan, I really wish that, you know, you would have done something a little smaller. No, she's never done that. Why? It wasn't logical, but I was so caught up in my love for her that to buy her that ring and to try and work every angle I could to give her the best that I had seemed like the natural thing to do. And I've never regretted it. And that's what God wants us to do when it comes to generosity and with Him. Is God wants us to look at what He's done in our lives, and He wants us to respond out of His grace and out of His love for us. And as we receive that, then our generosity back to Him is just the natural outflow of what He's done in our lives. Some of us, God's delivered us from drugs or from alcohol abuse, or the Lord's given you strength during a divorce, or you know, somehow God has just done something awesome in your life, and you think about that, and you know, your generosity back to the Lord just seems to be just the natural outcome of that in appreciation towards Him. Gina and I had a hard time getting pregnant with our first child. I think it took us about 7 or 8 years to have our first child. The years start running together when it's that long. But we did finally get pregnant, and we did have a baby, and we were just so thankful to God that we finally had this baby that we wanted to give a special offering to the Lord just to say thank you. And so we took the equivalent of a normal tithe, and we doubled that. And then that month, we just brought that special gift to the Lord because we were just thankful. You know, we were just grateful. And we wanted to show God in a tangible way how much we appreciated what He had done in our lives. And it just was kind of a natural thing. And then to our surprise, we got immediately pregnant with the second baby, which was such a shocker. But we were grateful for that too. And it's been good. And when God is in it, you know what? It's not all logical, but we're caught up in His grace and His goodness in our lives. And that's where Mary was. Mary just realized, man, Jesus just raised my brother from the grave. Oh my goodness, at least I can wash his feet, you know? I don't care what people say. And you know what's funny is Judas is there criticizing Mary. He's saying, well, don't use that expensive perfume on Jesus. You know, we could go, you know, give all this money to the poor, whatever. Mary, she didn't even pay attention to Judas. She's just totally ignoring Judas. She's all into Jesus. She's so into Jesus that whatever Judas said didn't even matter. Just a whole other deal. See, when we give to God, we give out of a great need and a great opportunity. And the second thing is that the Scripture tells us in verses 7 and 8, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So Mary saw this huge need. Jesus' feet were dirty. He needed to be cleaned. And she said, you know, Jesus deserves the best. The Lord Jesus had a great need, and she wanted to respond accordingly. Jesus' body was dirty, and it needed to be cleaned. And you know what? Now God has given us the body of Christ, the local church, and we have a great opportunity to give to the local church to help advance the mission and the calling that God has on the edge right here in the Southlands community. And I want John Bailey to come up at this time and just share with us some things that God's been doing in his life. Let's give John a welcome. John, come on up here. John and his wife, Nicole, have been active in our church for the last few months. And not only are they active in our church, John's my neighbor, so that works out pretty cool. We get to see each other driving around the neighborhood and all that. So, hey, John, so talk to us a little bit. We've been in this series the last few weeks, Radical Generosity. We've been talking about generosity, about giving and so forth. Tell us about how you first started getting involved in giving to the Lord and kind of what, you know, God's done in your life.
Well, it started young with my parents. They instilled it into me with allowance. And then when it started, when I had my first job, to give that 10% back to the Lord. And so ever since then, that's been part of my life.
Oh, that's great, man. Very good. You know, it's powerful the impact that parents can have on kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And so even when you were just like a little a little kid, your family was teaching you about generosity. I think that's so incredible, man. It's amazing how that stuff really does work and how we really do pay attention sometimes to our parents, right?
That's right. That's
That's good. Hey, talk about how your giving is like a priority, you know, in your marriage and your family and you and Nicole and things like that. Talk about how that happens regularly for you guys.
Well, it's very important every week. It's almost something we look forward to. Just every week being able to give back to the Lord because of what He's done for us. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's very good.
Just amazing.
Very good. And so do you guys, when you're kind of setting your budget, you know, for...
That's a good point. Actually, we make tithing the priority, and everything goes around tithing.
Okay.
So tithing is it. So everything, whether it's the car payment, the house payment, everything revolves around the tithe.
That's awesome. Wow, that's amazing. So it's kind of like you're trying to figure out, I'm going to give to the Lord first, mm-hmm. and then the other things kind of work around that. Okay, cool. Talk a little bit. Last week we talked about sowing and reaping, and we talked about how in order to be blessed that we have to sow, and when we sow, then we reap. Talk about how you feel like you and Nicole have been blessed by the Lord, you know, as a result of your faithfulness.
Well, I moved out to Colorado for a new position, and then just within probably last month, they closed my division.
Oh, wow.
But then just recently they decided to keep my department, so man, praise God for that. So now I don't have to move, I don't have to worry about selling the house, and
That's very good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, because I remember we were talking not too long ago, and you were saying, man, I love my job, you know, things are going great. And then you showed up at church just a few weeks ago, and you were like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was quite an impact.
Yeah, quite a shocker.
Quite a shock.
You were kind of trying to figure out, are we going to move? Are we going to do another job? But then your company,
right.
They were shutting down a division, but then somehow all of that changed, and your group, they were able to keep and accommodate. And so you guys are still got your job.
Still got our job, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yep. That's so good, man. And I'm so glad to hear that. I think you just shared with me that this week because I remember earlier you were saying, you know, Ryan, I don't know if we need to move or
right.
what we need to do or
right.
whatever, but the Lord just totally provided for you on that one.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, talk about what you've learned about the Lord through your generosity. I mean, how have you drawn closer to Him, or what have you learned about God's character and His goodness in your life?
By tithing, I believe that all my needs have been met. Every single need God provides, and I truly believe that's because of tithing. I really do.
Wow.
It's great.
Very good. Very good. John, thank you. Thank you very much. Let's give John a round of applause for coming up here and sharing with us. John, we appreciate that. Thanks for sharing your story. You know, isn't it great to just hear how God's working in people's lives and to hear real life examples like what John was sharing with us? We really do appreciate that, because we do have a great opportunity to show the Lord that we really love Him and appreciate all that He's done for us. Now it's interesting that in this story, Judas and Mary are looking at the same situation and they came back with totally different conclusions. You ever thought about that before? Judas, on one hand, he's saying, oh, no, don't waste that on Jesus. You know, that's not a good use of your funds. You know, that's not a good use of your resources. Mary, on the other hand, she's trying to give Jesus all that she's got. And they're looking at the same person, the same need, the same scenario, and they come out with two totally different conclusions. Now, we know that the scripture goes on and tells us that Judas was the treasurer of the apostles. And he was actually stealing from the treasury of the apostles. And so it's interesting that the very thing that Judas is being critical about is about the thing that he's exploiting. And sometimes we can all be a little bit hypocritical like that. You know, the things that we're the most critical about are the areas that we struggle with the most. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Always be on the lookout for people that are overly self-righteous. So Judas didn't even see the need. Judas was so focused on his own greediness, stealing from the treasury of the apostles, that he didn't even see the need of Jesus. And you know, when we're consumed by greed, we don't see the needs around us. You know, all we're doing is seeing ourselves. And that's what we see exactly happen here in verses 7 and 8. When our heart is not right, we don't see it. But when our heart is right, we do see the need. And then no great accomplishment ever occurs without great sacrifice. You know, all the way through the Bible, whenever God does great things, whenever there's like supernatural, like dynamic occurrences in the Bible, it's always because there was great sacrifice. Every single time. I mean, Noah built an ark for over 100 years. A lot of hard work went into that, right? When Solomon built the temple, there was great sacrifice among all the people, including Solomon and even his father David. And I mean, it took years to build, and it was expensive, and it was beautiful, and it was a powerful place of worship. And all the way through the Bible, whenever God does something awesome, there is great sacrifice that's involved. There's never great movement of the Lord and then just minor, casual, whatever you will, type involvement. And this is what we see in verses 4 through 8 again. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later betraying him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It is worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. And as the keeper of the money bag, he used to keep it himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It is intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. But you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Now see, a pint was about 12 ounces, but a flask would usually only contain about 1 ounce. And so in the ancient world, if you had some perfume, you usually had 1 ounce. You had a little container, about 1 ounce. Mary had 12 ounces. And so we know that this was a special amount of perfume. It was probably passed on to her from family members from generations before. And it would have cost the average worker 1 year's wages to earn enough money to purchase this one little container of perfume. So you could just figure whatever your annual wage is, could you imagine spending that on perfume and then using that on one person in one situation? I mean, that's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? It was a prized possession, probably from India or South Africa. And this was not Brut by Fabergé, okay? Now, when I was a kid, my parents used to always get me Brut by Fabergé every Christmas. And I loved Brut by Fabergé. You know, they always put by Fabergé at the bottom to make it sound really elite. And whenever there was a girl at school that I thought was cute, I would put on some extra Brut. I was even allergic to Brut by Fabergé. I would cough and sneeze, and I still love that stuff. That stuff smells like trash. It smells like garbage, doesn't it? It's awful. And then when I really wanted to impress a girl, I would go get into my granddad's Old Spice, you know? And that Old Spice is awesome. It makes you want to whistle all the time, right? You know, when you put on Old Spice, you got to love that. When I got into high school, I realized my parents were buying the cheapest cologne possible, known to man, Brut by Fabergé, and they were giving me that. I felt so ripped off and embarrassed. You know? It was sad, wasn't it? Mary wasn't bringing her Brut to Jesus. She was bringing her best. She was bringing all that she had. She said, "God is worthy of more than my Old Spice." Mary was about seizing the opportunity. Jesus says, "Hey, look, there will be poor people around for a long time to minister to. That's great. But I'm only going to be here a little while." You know what that means? That means there are certain windows. There are certain opportunities that God gives us in life. And sometimes when we miss that opportunity, we can't go back. There's just certain time frames. Jesus was only on earth a certain amount of time. He only had a public ministry for 3 years. And then he was crucified and then later rose from the grave. But Jesus said there's just a window of time. There's just this narrow bit that you can minister to me in this way. And you know what? God has given us an opportunity right here at the Edge Church through our generosity as we're just getting this church started. You know, it's interesting that as we got our church started over the last few months and even throughout this year, we've done so mostly on the support of other ministries and other churches who have invested in what God is doing here. And that has been amazing. The generosity that we have seen to our church from people that don't even maybe live in our city or even in our state. I mean, it's been incredible. But that window of opportunity closes, and we have to become financially self-sufficient the remainder of this year and next year and in the future. That support begins to step down month by month, year by year, and we have to become autonomous. We have to become independent. We have to become our own church. And so what we have to do is we have a window of opportunity right here, that what we begin to give and to invest in the Edge Church goes to change lives right here. And you know what? Everybody is important. Everybody makes a difference through their generosity. In fact, you're helping lives be changed right here in our community. Did you know that over 60 people have already committed their lives to Jesus Christ through the ministry of our church? And we're just getting started. What God wants to do here is just beginning. We're just kind of getting our feet on the ground. There's so much more, and there's so much more opportunity. We had over 200 people attend our block party on Wednesday night last week, and many of those folks said they want to come to our Easter services coming up in just a few weeks. God has given us a window. God's given us an opportunity. And what we need to do is to begin to propel the church forward through our generosity, just as Mary did with what she gave to the Lord Jesus. Now, in 2 Samuel, I love what King David said. He said, "I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." In other words, hey, if it's chump change, if it's Brute by Fabergé, I'm not going to embarrass myself by giving that to the Lord. I can do better than that. When I bought Gina's ring, I sacrificed because it was important, because I loved her, because I was grateful to her. And that's how God wants us to respond in worship to Him. You know, one of the great things about sacrificial giving is that everything we have belongs to God anyway. When we begin to change our perspective, we begin to say, you know, that's not mine. That is what has been given to me by God, and I have all of this stuff on loaner, and all my possessions belong to the Lord. Then giving back to the Lord actually just makes a lot of sense, and that's a much easier versus seeing all of our stuff as, oh, this all belongs to me. This is mine. You know, God, keep your hands off of that. And then, you know, Mark 14, the scripture goes on and tells the same story, but in this story, in verse 9, it wraps up, and Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be also told in memory of her." That's amazing that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about a woman in the New Testament giving all that she had to Jesus, giving this expensive perfume to Him. I mean, how amazing is that? You know what? When we are generous, we leave a legacy. We leave a legacy. We leave an impact. When we give to the Lord, we're changing lives in our children's ministry on Sunday. You're helping kids hear the Word of God. You're helping propel the ministry of the body of Christ right here in the Southlands community at the Edge Church. And we're leaving a legacy because what we're doing now has an exponential impact on the lives around us, and it's impossible to even measure that. See, we have no idea what our generosity, we have no idea what our giving can do and what God would do through what we give to change lives and to multiply His kingdom. Who would have thought that we would already be starting our very first church in the Stapleton area later this year? Our church is just barely getting started. Who would think that we would be giving mission dollars to relieve people in Haiti that are struggling and going through so much hardship? But you know what? Every month, a certain percentage of our giving goes directly to missions, and it goes to change lives, and it goes to start churches in other areas, and it goes to help people in need, and it goes to all kinds of different things, and it goes to help us have services here. And all of the work of God occurs through the generosity of the Edge Church. Isn't that good? So we leave a legacy, and it lasts long, 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 long beyond what we see here. It would probably freak us all out if we really knew how God would use our life and our giving to expand the ministry and the kingdom here. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great? So the reality is that God is in it. God is in it. God's moving. There's a great opportunity that's here before us. And now our response to the fact that God is in it is to say, God, I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm with you. I'm a part of it. I'm excited about it. I want to participate with it, with all that God is doing right here. Let's just pray together. God, we thank you for this example of Mary that was given to us in John 12. And this woman that just had such a spontaneous type of love and devotion that she just began to pour out this expensive perfume. And God, we want to be that kind of people. We want to be people consumed by generosity and by love and devotion and by thanksgiving, Lord. That's really the desire of our heart. And I pray you would teach us more about that and how that works and what that means in our lives. And Lord, we want to just be the kind of people that are always showing our love and devotion to you through our generosity. God, give us that kind of faith. Give us that kind of devotion and commitment as we serve you, as we walk with you, and as we give you all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.